All right, brothers and sisters, we will continue. I'm hoping we can finish chapter 4 today. During the teaching, brother, I'm just asking you if you could just put your phone on mute for a little, because we're going to record this part. So you could put your phone on mute, okay? Thank you very much. So, yes, so we will continue with the first epistle of John, first epistle of John, chapter 4. And I made sure this time to record where we left off. Last Sabbath we went from verse 7 to 14. So I know we will start at verse 15. Again, for those who might be on the phone who don't know who is speaking, this is Brother Jackson. And welcome everybody to the Congregation of Elohim. And I could still hear some background sounds. So I'm just asking if you could kindly put your phone on mute so we can't hear you. So you could hear us, but we can't hear you. If you could please put your phone on mute. Yes, so you could still, thank you very much. I'm waiting just for the phones to go on mute so we could start, okay? Okay, and if you don't know how, don't worry about it. But let's try to keep the noise level as low as possible if you don't know how to put your phone on mute. Thank you, dear brothers and sisters. Okay, so last Sabbath we went through again 1 John chapter 4. We did verses 7 through 14, and the apostle John, the Shliach Yochanan, he advise the brethren, the faithful brethren, the beloved brethren, to love one another, that love is of Elohim, and that whoever does not love is not of Elohim, right? And he stressed that Elohim is agape, Elohim is ahava, Elohim is love, Elohim is selflessness. Verse 9 says, In this, the love of Elohim was manifest among us, that Elohim sent his unique son into the world so that we might live through him. Through the first Adam made of the earth, the adversary brought forth death that abounded through every other human being, that even affected the world all around. But our brother here says, the apostle, the Shliach says, that we might live through him. And Shliach Paul, the apostle Paul, says that as death came into the world by one man, so life came into the world by one man. I'm not turning there, but I think that's in Corinthians chapter 15 or so. So he said, through one man, life, the second Adam, life came into the world. And just as sin through the first Adam spread throughout all the earth, likewise life through the second Adam spreads out even more so throughout all the earth to all who receive him. To all who receive him, right? So let's continue. And briefly, he told us, in this is love, not that we love Elohim, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, the payment for our sins, the remover of our sins. And verse 11, beloved, if Elohim so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So it's all about loving each other. No one has ever seen Elohim, but if we love one another, Elohim abides in us and his love is perfected in us. If we love each other. So that's one of the ways we can test and see, do we belong to Elohim? Is Elohim really dwelling in us? All we need to do is be honest with ourselves, do a self-assessment. Do I love others? Especially the brethren of Messiah. Am I close to them? When we love, it's not in just in mouth and feeling, it's in our deeds. Because when what we love, we stay close to. Do we search out our brothers and sisters? Do we recognize them when we see them? Do we try to establish good relationships with them? That is the love of Elohim. Remember Philip? When Philip found the Messiah, what did he run to do? He went and left to find his brother and tell him, we have found the one we were searching. We have found the Messiah. So if we love one another, we will do that. And many, many other good things we will do for each other. We will watch out for each other. We will be merciful to each other. We will help each other overcome. We will help each other always in the best ways. Are we doing that? Are we doing that? Let's search ourselves. Are we doing that? And if we're not, thanks be to Elohim. Because of his mercies, we have still the chance to do that. We mustn't love in just words. We must love in our actions, taking care, doing good to all, especially the brethren, those who believe in Messiah Yeshua. Okay, let's move on. So we left off, we finished at verse 14. If you haven't heard it, I've posted last week's message on the website. It's under the evokings of scripture. All you need to do is go to the website and go under growing in his knowledge, and it should be the last one. Evoking of scripture, it'll say 1 John 4. Okay, so let's continue with verse 15. And we will try to end today. We will try to finish this chapter today. So verse 15 says, I will read it first, okay? Again, dear all, if we have any person who's new on the line, for this particular teaching, I don't use notes. So what I first do is read it and then teach from what the scripture evokes in me. That's how I'm doing this. I do other teachings where I use notes, where I study and in advance, but not for this particular teaching because I wanted the scriptures to tell me what to say here and now at this very moment for our time. So verse 15 of 1 John chapter 4. Whoever confesses that Yeshua is the Son of Elohim, Elohim abides in him and he in Elohim. Verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that Elohim has for us. Elohim is love. And whoever abides in love abides in Elohim. And Elohim abides in him. I'll read that again. So we have come to know and to believe the love that Elohim has for us. Elohim is love, and whoever abides in love abides in Elohim, and Elohim abides in him. Verse 17, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in the world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Whoa, we'll talk about that. Okay? We all have lots of growing to do. I know I do, reading this verse. Verse 19. We love because he first loved us. Verse 20. If anyone says, I love Elohim and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love Elohim whom he has not seen. Verse 21 to conclude the chapter. And this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves Elohim must also love his brother. Amen. All right. Wow. I'm trusting you can allot what's going through your minds as what's going through my mind as I've read this, these powerful words from the Shliach Yochanan, from the Apostle John. They tell it like it is. They teach Yeshua's teachings like it is, brethren. Don't be fooled by anyone trying to make you think otherwise about the wonderful words which were preserved for us. Even though some men, either by evil intent or by error, have tempered with this and that text, don't worry about it. The Spirit of Elohim is powerful, and He preserves His words in ways that man cannot change. Even when they change something, Elohim makes it clear in other ways. So don't worry about those so-called ministers that are trying to destroy your faith in the Scriptures. Don't worry about that. Elohim knows how to preserve His servants and how to preserve His word, even when others would meddle with it. Praise be to His name. Okay, let's start with verse 15. Whoever confesses that Yeshua is the Son of Elohim, Elohim abides in him and he in Elohim. That's it. Okay? Whoever confesses, not just a person who says Lord, Lord, or Jesus, Jesus, or Yeshua, or however they pronounce it. No. It's someone who confesses. A confession is a testimony. Again, a statement of absolute trust and confidence in that Yeshua. That this being, this person, this Yeshua is the Son of Elohim. Who is the Son of Elohim? The one that the prophets talked about all throughout the Scriptures. The concept of the Son of Elohim to the people at the time of John and before was not a new concept. It's an old concept. All throughout very, very ancient Scriptures. That a group of people decided to eliminate from the Bible, from the text, from the Scriptures, because they did not want people to believe in a Son of Elohim. So they took out all the Old Testament or First Covenant Scriptures that specifically talked about the Son of Elohim and left a few, because if they took all the Scriptures that talked about the Son of Elohim entirely out, we would hardly have anything left. So they could not get rid of all of them. But there are some Scriptures that talk very powerfully about the Son of Elohim. Very clearly that He is from Elohim. That He is born of Elohim. That He is going to be the ruler. That He is hidden. But one day He will manifest and rule. And that He will sit and judge in all judgment. Do you know there are Old Testament Scriptures that actually say that? That are older than any of the Scriptures that we have, but yet some people have taken them out. In the future, we will talk about those, because it's very important that you are aware that Elohim did not leave those people without a witness. Yes, He did. But the leaders took them out because they did not want people to believe in Yeshua. So they took them out some 100 years later because they wanted everybody to believe that Yeshua was not the Son of Elohim. And not only was He not the Son of Elohim, there's no such thing. And that the Son of Elohim is actually Israel. Wow. Okay, so let's continue. So whoever confesses, whoever knows and says, knows, not just reads about, oh, you know what? The Bible says Yeshua. No, you know it. Because He visited you. His Spirit visited you and gave you that testimony to share. Whoever confesses that Yeshua is the Son, that Ben Elohim that the ancient Scriptures talked about, Elohim abides in him and he in Elohim. That's the only way a person can confess that Yeshua is the Son of Elohim. Nobody, anybody who Elohim does not can just say, you know what, Yeshua is the Son of Elohim. They're just saying it. It's not a confession. But whoever does that, Elohim abides in him and he in Elohim. When we abide in Elohim and Elohim abides in us, do we watch strange movies? No, we can't. Do we read strange books with worldly ideas? No, We can't, we don't, we have no appetite for that. The Spirit of Elohim, do you think about the Spirit of Elohim having to do every day with the movies of today, with the cursing, with the outright pornography, but it's no longer pornography. It's no longer considered by this society as pornography. All these movies, all these books, do you think this anyone who has the Spirit of Elohim abiding in him or her will be involved? No way. Remember the temple that Elohim says, I will dwell between, I will come and visit, he told Moses, between the cherubim. All the rules for that temple, nothing unclean can come in, no idol, nothing, nothing. We are his temple. And when he abides in us, we become his temple. And that temple is kept pure. Every thought, every imagination that is against his ways, we don't entertain. We rebuke, we reject, we hate as something unclean. That's when you know the love of Elohim abides in us, because we hate all the things that are contrary to him. If we look, if we even consider those things, it's only to expose them as unclean and harmful, because they are. Look what they're doing to our children. Look what those movies are doing to our children. Look what those books are doing to our society. Look what what's being portrayed. How can we who love Elohim, who loves life and wellness, entertain those things? No, the love of Elohim, whoever loves the Father, whoever loves the world, the love of the Father does not abide in them. Oh, I remember my little daughter seeking friends who are righteous. She went to this congregation that's supposed to be, quote unquote, the church of God. I use those words on purpose because that's what they call them, so the church of God. And my little daughter is speaking to this older child who's supposed to be a believer. And my daughter was so glad to hear that she was watching something that was decent, right? Then you know what the girl says? Oh, I don't only watch, I don't want you to think I watch other things. She was offended because my daughter was rejoiced at the idea that this young lady watched good things, but the young lady was offended and said, I watch other things. I'm grown up. I'm an adult. And they don't understand where the word adult comes from. It's from the word, that word adult means to, has to do with being ruined, being impure. That's why, like, I taught my daughter, I am not an adult. I'm a grown up, or I'm a mature person. But if I call myself an adult, it's by accident. We believers, we're not adults. We're not adulterated beings. We are grown ups. And as we grow, we become even more innocent than when we were babies. We better. For unless we become as little children, we shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. We must become more innocent than babes. Okay? We cannot watch the evil of this world. All those things cause death. Let's continue in verse 16. So, we have come to know and to believe the love that Elohim has for us. That's another way of looking at us as we are striving to become a congregation of Elohim who is acceptable in his sight. Let my words, let my thoughts be acceptable in thy sight, O Elohim. It says in verse 16, so we have come to know and to believe. That is faith. Some people try to believe. Oh, just believe. Just believe, blind faith. No, we're not to have blind faith. In the scriptures, there's no such thing as blind faith. Faith has evidence, has substance, has a basis, a provable, always a provable basis for what you believe, that you could point to everyone. Why do you believe this? Because of this, because of X, Y, and Z. That's why I believe. Faith has a strong, powerful, provable basis. If we don't have a strong, powerful basis, that's by evidence, then we don't have the faith of the scriptures. We have the faith of the world. Is to believe in things without any evidence, hence evolution, and hence many other theories, the scientific method, right? They say it's by evidence, no longer. Not really. Now it's a belief, and then people that are quote unquote in the scientific community that have a lot of connections, a lot of power in society, they decide what to believe, what society should believe, not based on facts, just because they have the authority, they say it, and so you're required to believe it. And if you don't believe it, you're disconnected with society. You don't know what you're talking about. No, we believers, we're commanded to prove all things. And Yeshua say, as we know, so we speak. Hence the mistake I made last week, right? I should have waited for the second testimony from Elohim. Elohim will always give us more than one proof. Always. Remember Moses? What's that in your hand? Did Elohim not know? Of course he knew, but he's a master teacher. Oh, it's my staff, right? Cast it to the ground. Isn't that what he told Moses? What, wouldn't that be enough? But he said, okay, what else? Put your hand in your side. How many proofs did he give him? Gave him proofs, right? So Elohim will always give us more than one proof. I was reminded of that last week in a hard and embarrassing way, but I'll do my best to keep that in mind. Let's move on. So we have come to know it by the experience of the blessings of the living Elohim, as our dear sister was saying about the meditation, about thinking how big Elohim is, how infinite he is, and how he humbled himself. Do we know that? Has he revealed himself to us? Okay, these are important questions. If he hasn't, don't worry, he will. Just persevere. Maybe he already has revealed himself to you. What I'm saying here, it has to be more than just reading the scriptures. The scriptures are wonderful. It's the Torah, it's the instruction. It's telling us to know Elohim, he must abide in us. He must visit us. We must know him and believe in him. It's not just believe something we've read. It's believe something you know. And we only know by experience. We cannot know according to the scriptures without experiencing something. So let's continue verse 16. Elohim is love, and whoever abides in love abides in Elohim, and Elohim abides in him. Yeshua's prayer in Yochanan chapter 17 before he was arrested, right? That they may be one, they in us, we in them, they in us. This is what Yochanan is saying again. Whoever abides in love, Elohim abides in him. And also he says that Elohim, I forgot to say, Elohim is love. Let me not forget that. That's a second witness. Look at what he said here in verse, let's see. In earlier, he said before that Elohim is love in the earlier verses here. Somewhere, I don't remember where, he said before that Elohim is, for Elohim is love. He said it before. I'm trying to quickly see. If you see it, let me know. But, oh, here, in verse 8. Anyone who does not love does not know Elohim. Why? Because Elohim is love. The first witness. The first, and again here, he gives a second testimony in verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that Elohim has for us. Elohim is Ahava, is love, is selfless, giving. Okay? So, verse 7, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. How can we have faith? How can we have that confidence if we abide in love, in his love? What's love? In the world, love means lusting. Love means desiring. That's not what the scripture means. In the scriptures, love means caring and helping, being beneficent. That is love. being beneficent, caring and helping one another in righteousness to do good. If we help someone to do evil, is that love? No. If someone who is tired and hungry because he has been working all day trying to build a bomb, and we know that, and we give him food so he could be refreshed and continue building his bomb, is that love? No. It is to help each other do good, because love is perfect. Love has no part in evil. It is only when we're helping others to do good that it is love. If a brother is tired and asks you, oh, can you please buy me a beer? And he's a drunkard. Oh, I feel so bad for him. Let me go and buy him a beer so he could drink. And is that love? No, it's not. That's just emotion. We have to put our emotions in check. Our emotions have to be controlled by righteousness. Elohim's righteousness. It is not loving to give a thirsty brother who is a drunkard a bottle of beer. That's not loving. It'll be loving to give him some water, but it's not loving to give a brother who intends to be refreshed so he can do evil. No, that's not. You understand what I'm saying. So let's move on. By this, his love must abide in us. So we have to do these self-checks every day. Is Elohim's love abiding in me? Right? I have to try to move on because I see it's already, it's almost 30 minutes that I've been speaking. I want to try to finish this today. So look through these and meditate on these words if I miss anything in the text, okay? So by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so are also we in this world. Just as he is. Is he involved in evil? Is he involved in things that are perverted in any shape or form? Is he involved in any appearance of evil? No, he's not. So are we in the world. We are not to be a part of anything Elohim is not a part of. Because if we are, we have every reason not to be confident in the time of judgment. We cannot say like David, oh, enter not into judgment with me, for I am your servant. We can't say that. No, we could only say that if we do this, if we abide in his love, then we are his servants. Because as he is in the world, so are we. Loving all we see in righteousness and doing good to all in righteousness, not in emotion. So are we in verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, or as the old King James said, with torment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Look back at those verses about perfection of love. I know I fear sometimes. Many times I fear. Do a self-check, beloved brethren. Do we fear sometimes? So anyone in whom fear affects, you know the love of Elohim has not been perfected in you. We're still growing. We're still in line waiting, the Elohim still waiting patiently to seal us with his Holy Spirit, brethren. I can't lie to you. I can't lie to myself. That's why we must give Elohim thanks so much for his mercy. See, his love will be perfected in us. One way we know his love is when we have no more fear. Do you understand the love of the Apostle John sharing this with his brethren? He had to tell them the truth. I am no apostle, I am no prophet, but I'm committed to teaching the truth. I'm committed to judging myself through the words of the scriptures. And as I love my brothers and sisters, I must share the same with them, Look at these words. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So Jackson Souffrant, the love of Elohim has not yet been perfected in Jackson Souffrant. I can testify, I can tell you the truth, that I've been afraid many times recently. I fear sometimes when I see what's going on in the world around me. I do. But I cry out, does that mean Elohim is not with? No, that's not what it means. It just means his love is not yet perfect in us, dear. But it doesn't mean he's not with you. But we have to be careful not to just repeat scripture after scripture without paying attention with what we are saying. You ever hear ministers, oh, perfect love, cast out fear, blah, 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 blah. They're just preaching, and they don't realize what they're saying. And don't be afraid, brothers and sisters, blah, blah, blah. We're on the Lord's side. He who is in us. All this using the scriptures as a cliche instead of a sword with two edges, instead of something that reveals truth. When we read these words, we need to humble ourselves and see how much we need to pray. That's how come I invite. That's why we have the Friday night prayer, where we can come together and pray for our weaknesses, where we can see ourselves in spirit and in truth to see where we are in our walk and know what to pray for. We need to pray for the love of Elohim to be perfected in us. We need to be praying that he seals us with his spirit, because he will seal us with his spirit. Guess when? When his love is in us. When we're ready. He's not going to seal us with his spirit. Because until his love is perfected in us, we can fail. But when his love is in us, we will not fail. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in the love of Elohim. I can't say any better than that. Meditate on those words. And let's seek his face and pray that his love can indeed be perfected in us. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. It's not because we loved him first. Before, because he first loved us, he reached out to us, he touched us, he made himself known to us, those of us that know him. Some of us are still in process of knowing him, just like Cornelius, a very righteous man. But he did not know Elohim yet. He did not know him as Father yet. He knew him as Elohim, possibly, but not as Father. He knew him as the great creator, not as Father. We cannot know him as Father until Elohim sees fit that we're ready to meet his perfect Son. When we're ready to meet his perfect Son, then he'll introduce, then the Son will meet us, and then the Son will finally introduce that great, infinite Elohim to us as Father, as our Father. We love because he first loved us, verse 19 tells us. Let me try to finish. If anyone says, I love Elohim and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love Elohim who he has not seen. Amen. Let's not deceive ourselves by redefining love. Oh, I don't have any animosity against my sister or my brother. I don't know. So I love. No, do we actively seek out our brother and sister? Do we actively do good to our brother and sister? Do we actively pray for the well-being and welfare of that brother? If we're not doing that, we're not exercising the love of Elohim. Okay? So let's not deceive ourselves. Okay? Let's let these words be words to purify ourselves. And he says, he will magnify the law and he will sanctify the sons of Levi. That's what the words of Yeshua would do. Let's continue. So let's not be liars. And by saying what we are not. If somebody does not love his brother, that does not make him a liar. It makes him or her someone who has growing to do. But when we don't love our brothers and sisters, and we boast, oh, how I love my brothers and sisters. and we really don't, then we make ourselves liars. Okay? So let's be people who are of the truth and walk according to the grace and faith that Elohim has truly granted us. Yes? Yes. So I'm almost done here. Verse 20. If anyone says he loves Elohim and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother if anyone says I love Elohim and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love Elohim whom he has not seen. Cannot say any better than that. Let these words sink into our hearts and our minds so we can purify and sanctify ourselves by these words and live according to them. Verse 21 to end. And this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves Elohim must also love his brother. Okay? It's not that, okay, we just can't say we love Elohim and don't love our brother. Again, it's repetitive. He is closing, and I will close with these words. I'll complete the chapter just as Yochanan completed. Verse 20. And this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves Elohim must also love his brother. I end here, dear brothers and sisters, with this chapter. The Eternal permitting, next Sabbath, we will start off with chapter 5. And then I will stop this session and do some other teachings that are based on studies that I've done. So it'll go a lot more quickly. So meditate on these, dear brother. And I stop here. And if anyone has comments or questions, feel free to do so when I stop, because we will stop the recording here. The Eternal bless us all. Amen.